worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is having a tremendously awesome day, having a blessed day. It's beautiful down here in Florida. We have a lot of shipments we're getting out to everybody over the weekend. Hope you guys enjoyed the Hagman Show with Ted on Friday. Great show. And a lot of stuff going on. I got a lot of different articles I've been working on all morning here. Some very interesting things going on. As usual right now, it is never a dull moment in the United States currently. Very interesting times. And other than that, how are you doing this morning, Ted?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. The country is gradually doing a rolling open up, I guess you could call it. I mean, I don't really know what to call this. This is unprecedented in the United States. But, of course, all major industries are still closed, including meatpacking plants. I just spoke to one of my friends in England this morning, and she told me that the British economy is in complete shambles, that everything's closed. You can't even get up. She said you can't even get a cup of coffee. She said everything's still closed. Nothing's opened. And again, I talked about this in length on Doug's show on Friday, but I did a much more thorough job when I discussed all of this on Friday on our show. And the thing that nobody, except for just a few people, are even trying to address is the fact that the world is being controlled by a sex death cult that's absolutely determined to bring either World War III in, mass starvation in, all in the guise of bringing in their Antichrist. And nobody wants to discuss it. The Zionists, the guys with the Scofield Bible, have done such an incredible job at making anybody feel, if they discuss any of this stuff, that they're being anti-Semitic, that everybody's scared to breach the topic. I mean, pretty much, but just a few handful of people. And the problem with all of this is that unless you discuss what happened in the Zohar, the book that was written in 72 AD by a guy who sat in a cave and talked to a demon for 12 years, who basically took all the Kabbalistic religions of the Canaanite religions, the blood sacrifice religions, and the Egyptian snake religions, and combined them together into one book, which is the book that is the primer for all satanic religions, all cults, including the Masonic lodges. Unless you put that together, none of it makes any sense. And the problem is nobody wants to touch this because this is so bizarre and so far out there that it sounds so insane that nobody wants to even give it any credibility. But yet here we are in the middle of a death cult running the planet. It has been doing it for thousands of years. It's not like it just started. You know, there have been people who have pushed against it and tried to stop it, but it always infiltrates into organizations and top levels of management, top levels of business, and top levels of government, and starts it over again. And it always does it the same way, through controlling the money supply. And this is just what they've been doing now for thousands of years. It's this Babylonian money magic. And it's sad to me that, you know, the majority of the people here in the United States, including pastors, I have been trying to work with multiple pastors and trying to get them to at least address this a little bit. And I've had absolutely no response. I mean, they admit that I'm right. They tell me that I'm right. And then when I watch them on their sermons on Sunday, there is no mention of it. None. And I think they're scared because a lot of these guys have these huge congregations. And I mean, some of them, one of them, in fact, is bringing in over $100 million a year. Guys, I'm not making these numbers up. $0.1 billion a year in donations. And they're scared to lose that. You know, here's why. Let me explain something to you. They try to throw out an all-inclusive net. In other words, they want to include everybody who's listening. They want to make their message as widely acceptable as they possibly can to assure the largest amount of people in attendance. In other words, if you're in a church and you really start hammering adultery, the people who are living together, who basically haven't committed their lives to Christ or haven't committed their lives to marriage, you know, they get upset and they don't want to hear it. And they move on to a place where they can hear what they want to hear. If you have people in your church who are openly involved in promoting abortion and you start talking about abortion, people leave. If you have a message on holiness, and you start talking about how we need to repent and do things we need to do as far as right in God's eyes, and you hammer that, what ends up happening is you have people that don't want to live that lifestyle who are sitting on the fence. They have a tendency to move on. And so what you end up with, instead of having this massive church that's bringing in $10 million or $100 million a year, you end up with a fraction of that as the other people move on to find other places that their itching ears want to hear. And so you end up in an organization that you have hundreds, if not thousands of employees, and they end up not being able to get compensated for being there because you don't generate enough revenue anymore, and you've got to cut them loose. So these pastors, in fact, I had one of them tell me one time, he had 400 employees, and he told me he felt like he was in a squirrel cage and that he was running as fast as he could in the squirrel cage, producing the revenue for his 400 employees, and he felt as though that he stopped running in the squirrel cage, everything in his organization would stop. And indeed it would, if everything's all about him. And I see this over and over and over and over again. Therefore, when someone like a pastor, like Pastor Chuck Baldwin, comes out and says, hey, look, these 501(c) corporations are controlling you. You don't need to do this. They don't want to hear the message. Because the 501(c) corporation, and I discussed this last week, Troy has sent me the information on this, and basically it's true. It allows them to have the donations that are given to them as tax deductions for the people who donate the money. And people, rather than just realizing that if they donate $1,000 to the church, and they write off the $1,000 and they save $400 in income tax, you know, they may as well just, you know, give the church, you know, the $600 that it cost them anyhow, and just not bother with the $400 in income tax and not have to worry about a 501(c) with the pastor being Muslim in the pulpit. But I'm frustrated. I really am, because guys, I've worked with so many of these pastors for so long now, and I can't even get them to crack a just even put a sword in sideways. I mean, I can't even get him to slip a butter knife underneath the armor and start looking around in there saying, hey, what's up there? You know, I mean, why don't we change this? And it's sad, because I'm watching these guys and I'm watching these guys and I'm watching these guys on Sunday, and I keep thinking, okay, something that I said or something that we did or some story that I sent them is going to appear in their message. And it just goes on and on and on. Now, there's a Baptist guy out in Texas, and I posted this on the website. And he straight calls out the New World Order in a sermon, straight calls out the International Monetary Systems, straight calls every one of these guys out. He's got a pretty big church. And so I posted that on the website. So I even sent that video of him doing that to multiple pastors that I know, hoping that someone would get a hint, like, you know, hint, hint. Here's one. Here's a guy doing this. It's okay. He's not put in prison. I mean, he's okay. He's telling the truth. But they don't do that. And again, it's because of compromise, and it's because, you know, people have been basically following with their itching ears want to hear for so long now to build these mega churches. And, you know, here's the problem I have with the mega churches. They build these giant edifices, these giant cathedrals, these churches that hold 10, 15, 20,000 people. And they basically are taking all of this money that could be used to further evangelism and to further getting people lost, who are saved, to get them saved, and they spend it on these giant facilities with these giant mortgages. And, you know, they end up having hundreds of thousands of dollars a month in mortgages. And they keep going and going and going and going. And it's for some of these guys, it's never big enough, never big enough, never big enough. And then what happens is, some of these guys then basically go out of business, if you want to call it that. The people stop coming to the church because the old guys retire who started it, and the vision is lost. And the church sits there basically in disrepair or with hardly anyone in it. And then another evangelist will come in and say, okay, I want to set up a satellite church. I'm going to buy your facility for pennies on the dollar. And they continue to expand that way. And because they're not subject to having to pay property taxes, you know, all they have to do is maintain the facility and not have to pay taxes on it. And so it makes it easy for them to continue to expand. Guys, this is not at all what Jesus had in mind when he told us to go out and baptize and talk to people about the good news. I mean, we need to be doing it on a one-on-one basis. I mean, Christians need to be evangelizing in their own neighborhoods and with their own friends to bring them to Jesus Christ, not having people come to beg at churches to do this and have bands and concerts in the church with unbelievably heathen rock music. Sometimes it's not even Christian. I've got up and walked out of so many churches. You guys can't even, well, you know I have. I'm telling you I have because of the music. Just walked out. There was one church that I used to attend. The music got so bad, and I wouldn't talk to the pastor about it. It didn't make a difference. The music got so bad that I would sit in the parking lot for 40 minutes and wait until the music part was over with. And now he always started his sermon at 10:40, so I'd walk back in around 10:35 and sit down just to avoid listening to all that heathen music. I think, gosh, Ted, that's awful. I know it's awful. We don't go to church there anymore. But guys, it's so important to understand. You gotta go, you know, to places that are telling you the truth. Now, let's talk about something too. This is really important here, what they're doing. Yeah, this final plan that they're implementing is pretty crazy right now. You know, up in Wisconsin this weekend, I mean, a video came out of this sheriff coming and stopping at this lady's house and warning her about letting her children play at other people's houses. And the response was, well, my children go over there, they come over here. And the sheriff standing out in front of her house says, by the way, we're telling you that you can't do this. Your child is not allowed to go play with the neighbors. And we've already talked to the neighbors. I mean, this is reminiscent of what my mom told me about in Nazi Germany. I mean, this is unbelievable that this is happening. But yet here we, the American people, have sat back and just said, okay. Now, I'll give these guys credit up in Michigan. They've gone up there and they basically stormed the Capitol with weapons. You know, and now the Michigan governor is saying, oh, we're just, our people are not represented of these neo-Nazis with their swastikas, blah, blah. She's the stinking Nazi. She's the Nazi. And yet, you know, when the fascist or the communist or whatever you want to call her, you know, and this is the problem that we have. We have all of this stuff happen. The Chicago mayor, Lori Lightfoot, she threatened to throw people in jail if they throw a party and have a barbecue. You should hear. She's so mad and so angry they were having barbecues and talking to each other. Can't talk to each other. Can't have a party. We put you in jail. You'd be criminals. And I'm like, what the heck, man, for having a barbecue? Or an Oregon governor, Katie Brown, basically little sister of Governor Moonbeam from California, has extended the state of emergency to July the 6th. Shut the entire state down to the month of May and June and to July the 6th. Kate has ties to the Clinton Foundation, of course, and she was involved in Uranium One, of course, and decision to kill Lavoie Finicum during the Malheur Park standoff. Yeah, that was her. Soros puppet, who's also the Rothschild Gretchen Whitmer, extended her stay-at-home orders amid major protests, causing Trump to tweet, the governor of Michigan should give a little and put out the fire. These are good people, but they're angry. They want their lives back safely. See them, talk to them, make a deal. The good news is the Michigan House and Senate plan to sue her now. Globalist slave Justin Trudeau, who could not act any more gay. I mean, the guy just acts completely and totally like an effeminate girl. Has now banned 1,500 models of assault rifles in Canada. I mean, the guy could give lessons on how to act gay. I mean, unbelievable. It's just, you know, he has sworn allegiance to the Queen of England. You know that, of course, when he became Prime Minister of Canada. In Spain, the people have been on lockdown for over 6 weeks. All non-essential work has been shuttered by the government. Closed businesses are dying. Unless your work is deemed essential, you're not allowed out of your home. Only one person at a time can buy food or medicines, like it is in Ecuador. People are stopped by the police and asked for their receipts. People are fined $2,000 for talking to someone outside of their house, even with social distancing. In Toronto, with Trudeau, that fine is $5,000. In Spain, the rules are getting stricter and the fines are getting higher by the day. Anyone who is under 18 is not even allowed outside at all. Children have been locked in apartments for 2 months and police brutally. Bruce brutality has spiked. People call police when they look outside and see people on the street. The police arrive in a group and beat the person up. I mean, people on the balconies are clapping. They're seeing other people getting beaten up. Which is sickos. The government keeps on promising fast release if everyone behaves. Behaves? If you're a good little slave and lick the boot, we're going to let you guys out. If everyone behaves, but the day of prison release keeps getting pushed further and further and further out. It's now impossible for most people to get together and even protest or even to talk together in a group. Yeah. This is what they don't want. They don't want us getting together in a, you know, in a beer hall in Munich and start talking about everything, about what's happening. Guys, this is something that is unprecedented in the United States. I mean, I've never seen anything like this happen before in my lifetime that my mom and my dad did, and they talked about it. But guys, this is getting really, really far out, and Donald Trump now has his new operation, Warp, you know, Operation Warp Speed, in which he now plans to have vaccinations ready to inject in everybody by January the 1st. Unbelievable. Austin Bud, what do you think?
No, this whole thing's starting to progress and spiral out of control now, and a lot of people I've started to talk to are starting to realize that something else is going on behind the agenda. You know, I went out this weekend again to go out on the boat for a little bit on the Chain of Lakes, kind of relax some, and the topic came up on the boat, and pretty much everybody on the boat had the exact same philosophy. Everybody said, you know, we all kind of thought that this was really, really bad at first, and in some places it is bad, and there's no doubt about it. This virus does infect people, and it does cause people to be sick, and it has killed some people. There's no question about that. But the level of lockdown and unprecedented tyranny that we've witnessed now is far beyond what the virus damage could have ever done. Far beyond it. And we're starting to see there's a lot of people protesting. Michigan's been doing it. Now, California, you guys saw, I mean, California doesn't do much of anything. I'm sorry for you guys who live in California, our listeners, but you guys have allowed just about everything to happen out there. And they're protesting now about the beaches being closed. And there's thousands of people descended on the beaches again to protest. And so now we have people protesting, thousands of people protesting. The beaches are still closed. And if you guys saw, this was great week, but the individual that was in Tampa, Galen Wood, who was arrested, he basically had a card game store that he refused to close. And he had all of his charges dropped now. He got an attorney, and they basically dropped everything. The state attorney refused to prosecute the case. And now his attorney that he got, he said, Florida, this is the first Floridian to be arrested for opening a non-essential business. And it's clear there is no valid legal authority for either the state or local emergency orders. And that law enforcement does not have the lawful ability to arrest you for keeping your business open. They don't have it, guys. There is no law that grants them that carte blanche immunity that says your business is essential, your business is not essential. You can be open, but you cannot be open. There's none of that. There has never been any type of lawful reason for that. Now, if there was some massive instance in the state where they said, listen, we got to shut down all businesses for 2 or 3 days because of a national emergency or a state emergency, or we've got a massive hurricane or something. Something short-term like that is completely different. This is not that. You can't come in and say, you can stay open because we say you're essential. You cannot stay open because we say you're not essential. The government does not have the right to tell you what's essential and non-essential, because the truth is, if you are trying to keep your business open and there is a demand for your product and you're trying to make money to stay in business so you can pay for your bills, that in turn makes you an essential person to work. The government has no right to tell you you're not essential. That's what nobody understands with this. And so this was a great case in Florida, really opened up a lot of stuff, because now, I mean, I had to go get black market haircuts last week. I mean, my barber's awesome. He's got a place shut down with the windows closed and the sign closed and the light off. And basically, people are coming in to the back door. I mean, like, we're going into some, you know, prohibition era with a speakeasy. What's the password so you can come in and get a haircut? Kid you not. And he told me, he said, dude, he goes, I don't care. I'm going to stay open as far as for all my clients. He said, but the problem is, Austin, he goes, if they come in here and try to bust me, he goes, I'm not going to let them in. They're going to have to get a warrant to come in here. He said, but if they bust me, they have already told numerous salons around the area that they will revoke your license, your barber license, your cosmetology license, and a $3,000 fine. I said, that's nuts. He goes, I know. So what are we going to do about it? He said, you're going to get a haircut. I said, yes, I am. Let's get a haircut. This is ridiculous. We're not going to abide by these unconstitutional, unlawful orders. These are not lawful orders, guys. Please understand that. When you start telling people that it doesn't matter if they go bankrupt and they can't feed their family and they go destitute, it doesn't matter because you're not essential. You don't have the right to work because we deem you non-essential. That is unlawful in and of itself. So please understand what's going on and wake up. Oregon right now, people in Oregon are having a conniption fit. I don't know if you guys have seen this now in Oregon. Oregon Governor Kate Brown now has extended the full state lockdown until July 6th. July 6th. I didn't stutter. J-U-L-Y 6th. 2 days after July 4th. Two more months of full lockdown. Now, what's so asinine about this in Oregon is they're rated number 40th of cases in the country. I mean, minimal amount of cases in the state of Oregon. Now, here's the thing that we're starting to see. Oregon has something that's much more sinister going on now that a lot of people have not even talked about. Now, this is the part that really got my attention. This happened like a week ago. DHS, the Oregon Department of Human Services, they handle basically Child Protective Services is what they are in Oregon. They handle that whole situation. On April 22nd, the state initiated what is now a plan that says they can remove children if parents come down with coronavirus. This is unprecedented. The state of Oregon now said they can remove children and put them in substitute care if the parents are deemed unable to support them. However, it's very, very, very shady how this is worded. The lettering that came out now from the Oregon Department of Health Services, it states effective 4/22/20, if in the course of an assessment a caseworker makes a determination that a child will enter substitute care because their caregiver is infected with COVID-19, the caseworker will need to select a newly created case note value for tracking this entry. The category is, in parentheses, other note, and the type of new value is caregiver with C-19 displayed on the note. Again, this value is to be used only when the determination has been made that the child will be entering or has entered substitute care because their caregiver is infected with COVID-19 and is unable to support them. If that determination has been made, it is critical to make the selection for tracking progress noted as caregiver with C-18. What? So you're now giving the state the ability to seize children because the parent has come down with COVID-19? Now, the weird part about this whole thing, and I've been trying to read into it more, is it says the caregiver is infected with COVID-19. It does not state in there that the caregiver has to have a confirmed COVID-19 test done. So I don't know where, I'm still trying to figure this out because it's so vague. I'm trying to understand where they're going with this. We're now telling the state they can seize children and put them in substitute care. And it says that in parentheses, substitute care. What the heck is substitute care? Where are these kids going? What are they going to be subjected to? Who is going to be watching? What, are they just going to go to some randomly assigned foster person? We've already know that Child Protective Services has allowed many of people that were basically sexual deviants and perverts and all kinds of stuff to get children in foster care. So I don't know. Something to look into, but understand, very weird stuff going in Oregon. Number 40th in the state, minimal cases at best, yet the whole state now has been extended to full lockdown until July 6th. Really, really weird stuff. Also, too, something that I want to bring up, his dad was talking about this, and I'm going to address it directly and let you guys know this is exactly what I've been talking about and dad's been talking about. Operation Warp Speed is what Trump just signed into order, and it is designed to pull private, pharmaceutical, and government agencies along with the military to develop a vaccine as quickly as possible. As part of the arrangement, taxpayers will shoulder the financial risk. Of course we are. Why would we not shoulder everything when this happens? As we've done the whole thing. The projected goal is to have a minimum of 300 million doses of COVID-19 vaccine available by January. There is no precedent for such a rapid deployment of a vaccine in history. Now, if you go back and do some research, I'm going to bring this up. The only time that Operation Warp Speed has ever been launched by the federal government was back in 1976 under Gerald Ford. Now, one thing about this was, if you guys know your history in 1976, this was a gigantic fiasco. And what it was allegedly a mysterious strain of swine flu turned up at Fort Dix in New Jersey. One army private died and many others became ill. They thought that essentially this may turn into the 1918 Spanish flu again. So President Gerald Ford signed Operation Warp Speed, and they started to fast-track a swine flu vaccination, as fast as they literally could. Now, the crazy part about this was the vaccine program was directed to proceed, announcing plans to inoculate 1 million people per day by the fall, an unprecedented timeline. Now, by mid-October, as soon as the vaccinations were underway, there were more problems that emerged. There were reports of sporadic deaths connected to the vaccine popping up all over the country. Cases of Guillain-Barre syndrome emerged almost immediately and are still cited today by people that question the vaccine narrative. Panic emerged with dozens of states completely stopping and refusing to push the vaccine through. By December, 94 reports of paralysis directly related to the swine flu vaccine shut down the entire program. That's what happened in 1976. Now, so we see Trump doing the exact same thing on an unprecedented scale, because now he says he wants to have basically vaccines for every single man, woman, and child in the entire United States of America ready by January. Now, my question to everybody is, are you going to capitulate and allow the known federal government, who has been involved in atrocities all over the world and all over the country for decades on end, including covering up all types of sinister research? I mean, I can go into everything, all the way from what happened with DuPont to what happened with Monsanto to what happened with the vaccines, all the way to the Simeon 40 vaccine with polio. I mean, you can go on and on and on and on and on. We've seen this is a reoccurring thing the Fed has done. This is a reoccurring thing. Over and over and over and over again, they've tested things on the American population, and it's been a complete and total fiasco. And, of course, they come back and say, oh, we're sorry about that. That was our bad. You know, that was just kind of a mistake. But here's the difference. In 1976, there's a little thing that had not been enacted yet. It's called the Vaccine Protection Act. That was in 1986. That went into law 10 years later under Reagan after this whole incident. At that point in time, when Gerald Ford signed Operation Warp Speed to have this swine flu pushed out, everybody that got Guillain-Barre syndrome was able to legally sue all the different pharmaceutical companies that came out with this vaccine. That's why it stopped, guys. That's why they didn't push it any further, because it was literally going to bankrupt the pharmaceutical companies that manufactured these vaccines that were directly causing Guillain-Barre syndrome in the people that are injected with it. Fast forward to 1986, vaccine manufacturers are completely and totally immune from prosecution from dangerous and deadly vaccines, meaning if they mandate this in January, listen to me, guys, if they mandate this in January, and there starts to be a massive amount of health problems that are implemented, there will be no ramifications to the pharmaceutical industry. They will again have carte blanche immunity, meaning they have no requirement to produce a safe vaccine right now. Oh, yes, sure, they're told they are. Sure, they're supposed to have these clinical trials that allegedly are supposed to be safe. We already saw how those were completely manipulated with the MMR vaccine and with the HPV vaccine, when they were giving the individuals in the placebo groups saline solution with aluminum in it to skew the doses. Dad showed you that research years ago. I've talked about it recently. So please, I again encourage you to ask yourself a question. We know that this virus is something that's, it's not fun, it's bad if you get it. But we've also seen that the level of people that have caught it and actually died have been massively skewed, and that there has been no significant precedent to produce some type of fast-track RNA-based vaccine. Remember, this is not a normal vaccine, guys. This changes your DNA. It rewrites your DNA. This shoves the actual vaccine and encodes it into your DNA structure. Are you going to allow you and your family to be injected with an RNA vaccine that's mandated by the government with the track record that they've had with treating their population and getting away with it for the last 50 to 60, actually almost 80 years now? That's the question I want everybody to listen today, and I want you to answer that. I want you guys to answer that. I'm today. I'm telling you right now, you need to ask yourself and your family this question right now. We know that Bill Gates has dumped hundreds of millions of dollars in getting this vaccine up to market over the last 6 months. We know that he did a projected diagram of what COVID-19 was going to do in what October we saw. We know that we have been lied to repeatedly about almost everything with this virus. We know that they have been willing to shut down the United States' entire economy over this lie. And now we're told that we're fast-tracking a RNA vaccine to have 300 plus million doses ready by January at the expense of the taxpayer, and the pharmaceutical companies will have zero recourse if we start seeing people come down with horrible debilitating conditions. And remember, they can spin the narrative any way they want. Somebody gets the vaccine and all of a sudden they get deathly ill a couple weeks later. They can say, man, we didn't give them the vaccine in time. They caught COVID-19. They tested positive for it. That's, they got COVID-19. It sucks. We're sorry. It's horrible. We shouldn't, you know, we wish we could have gotten the vaccine faster. They could spin the narrative 50 ways till Sunday and make everybody believe. And remember, when they tried to do what they did with the vaccine in 1976 with Gerald Ford, they did not have the scale to ramp up to have as many people vaccinated as they can now. Now, with the social media and internet and rolling RN as far as nurses that basically have been setting up for this, with a gigantic police state put into place now, especially what we're going to see over the next 6 months, they're going to have the entire grid set into place, ready to go. Are you going to take that vaccine? And then the next question I have to ask you is, if you say yes, my next question is, do you know what's in that vaccine? That's the next question I'm going to ask you, Deb.
You know, Austin, this is just so bizarre to me that this is actually happening like this and that we're seeing all of this. You know, but isn't it just interesting, a coincidence, that this remdesivir is made by this drug they say will control and cure COVID-19 is made by Gilead, which is a Rothschild-controlled organization, and is the cure for COVID-19. Just thought I'd mention that. And it gets more interesting when you figure that China holds the patent on the drug through an agreement with Gilead's drug patent-sharing subsidiary branch called Unitaid, U-N-I-T-A-I-D, who has an office near Wuhan. And you'll never guess who are the main financial investors. That would be the Rothschild Corporation for Unitaid. And, of course, then there's other ones that include George Soros, Rothschild cutout, Bill and Melinda Gates, Rothschild cutout, Rothschild's World Health Organization, which is basically right from the good old League of Nations, World War II, and, you know, United Nations and everything else. I know what you're thinking. It's just all coincidence, isn't it? Well, let's not forget that the Gilead and Unitaid were financial supporters of Hillary Clinton, the Rothschild's Sabbatean witch, who basically talks to the dead Eleanor Roosevelt, according to Bill Clinton, her own husband. Oh, yeah, one more thing. You know, Fauci, another Rothschild finance cutout, was the one authorizing the Rothschild millions to be sent to Wuhan Institute of Virology, specifically for the study of coronaviruses. And, you know, I guess we should all be thankful that these are just all coincidences, nothing to see here, just move on. You know, wow, no wonder Fauci slapped down hydroxychloroquine, basically that quinine product, which has a 92% success rate, because basically he was told to slap it down. See, and Austin's right. With these vaccines, they're literally going to make trillions. And I'm not saying that word unmeaningly. I mean, it's not billions, it's trillions. If they try to vaccinate the entire planet, they're going to make trillions of dollars. Why else would Bill Gates, Rothschild cutout, be willing to spend hundreds of millions of dollars of the Rothschild's money, I must be very clear with that, in order to produce a vaccine? Well, what we have to go back is this. We have to go back to the book of Revelation on this. And we need to look up the word sorcerer, sorceries, and sorcery. In the Bible, you'll find these words used 15 times, 7 times in the Old Testament, and 8 times in the New Testament. Of these 15 times, 4 times are found in the book of Revelation. Now, why am I bringing that in, the word sorcerers? Because this death cult, this death sex cult that runs the planet, is full of a bunch of sorcerers and witches. You go, here you go again, Ted. No, you gotta go with what the Bible says, guys. You gotta go back. I mean, we got Bill Clinton telling us that his wife communes with Eleanor Roosevelt. You guys can look it up online. I'm not making it up. And we have basically Larry Nichols telling us that Hillary Clinton had a witch's coven that she was the head of in L.A., and every 6 weeks she went back to her coven to meet with the other witches. Now, you know, you can't even make this stuff up. And then you have the Book of Revelation talking about sorceries and witchcraft. And then we realize the foundational root of all this witchcraft and all the stuff in today's society is from the Zohar through the Kabbalah. And we have all these witches praying against Trump. And by the way, nobody talks about that anymore. We've got all these organizations basically supporting this Maria Abramovich, who basically likes to cut herself and is involved in Satan worship. She wouldn't call him Satan. I guess she'd call him Ein Sof. And all these organizations are tied together, you know, with Jeffrey Epstein and his basically raping of young girls. And, you know, he had a temple on his island, a temple. I mean, like a church temple where they would do all types of who knows what kind of rituals. I mean, this is some sick stuff, guys. And we need to understand that these guys are who they are. The meanings of sorcerers and sorceries and sorcery. A sorcerer basically is the meaning of a magician or a sorcerer. And then sorceries means basically it's Isaiah 47, 9 and 12. Hebrew word keshef, meaning practicing magic, sorcery, or witchcraft. And Acts 8, 11, the Greek word magia, meaning to practice magic or to use sorcery. Acts 8, 9 says the word magia, meaning to practice magic and sorcery again. In Revelation, the Greek word pharmakia, meaning pharmacy, medication, sorcery, or witchcraft. They say, why is it all linked back to pharmakia? Okay, glad you ask. Aldous Huxley in 1958, he said that pharmacology and propaganda would make the masses love their slavery. And what they started doing in 1946, when they read the information out of Dachau, and they found that basically it was making the inmates servile and infertile, and they wouldn't kick and be fighting against their captors, the Nazis who were running the concentration camps, which were actually slave labor camps. That's why, if you look at the one slave labor camp over there, it said Arbeit macht frei, which means work will make you free. These were slave labor camps, which they were building missiles and guns and V2 rockets and all kinds of stuff for the German military. This is what they were being used for. You know, and we have to understand that, you know, Huxley tried to warn us about this. And, you know, Mike Wallace, way back when, interviewed Huxley. And Mike Wallace, here's a quote from him. He says, a man haunted by a vision of hell on earth, a searing social critic, Mr. Huxley, 27 years ago, wrote Brave New World, a novel that predicted someday the entire world would live under a frightful dictatorship. Today, Mr. Huxley says that his fictional world of horror probably just around the corner for all of us. This is Mike Wallace said this in 1958, 60 years ago. And he was talking about how it would be the pharmacology and what was going on. Today, over 40 million Americans regularly take antidepressants, including tricyclic antidepressants, serotonin uptake inhibitors. And this is just a testament to the omnipresence, literally, of the pharmacological state. And Huxley foresaw this being a critical tenet of control for people who basically need to love their slavery, and how new drugs can really help with that. In other words, if you give a person a drug and you force them to take the drug, or you make sure they take the drug and they get addicted to it, they can't come off the drug like some of these antidepressants. And this is what they want to do. Huxley said, if you want to preserve your power indefinitely, you have to get the people, the consent of the ruled, and they will do it partially by drugs. And this is what he said, as he foresaw it in Brave New World. And see, this is the thing that we're looking at now, 60 years later, of what these guys are doing. Here's another quote from Huxley. We know there is enough evidence now for us to be able, on the basis of this evidence and using a certain amount of creative imagination, to foresee the kind of uses which would be made by people of bad with all these things and attempt to forestall this. In other words, he knew these guys were going to be coming in and using these drugs to control the people of the world. Guys, fluoride, and I have spoken about it for 40 years, destroys your senses and your ability to have reasoning skills. It does. And so, so many people that you talk to and you say they don't see it, they don't understand it. It's as if they've been blinded. I mean, I have had people, I had a pastor one time, and I've told you the story, I'm going to tell you again. And his pastor had not vaccinated the kids, his children. And when his kid turned 18 years old and went off to Rhema Bible College, they told him he needed to be vaccinated. And they had all these vaccinations lined up for him, and the kid took all the vaccines. He couldn't see what was going on. He had not listened to his father, had no respect for him, and did all these vaccinations. Didn't even think about the side effects. And then this same kid had gotten married and had a baby, and the baby was getting shot up with all these vaccines. And the pastor, the father, basically was absolutely just frustrated with all of it. He says, "Ted, can you talk to him about it?" And I contacted his son, and I sent him over 300 clinical references talking about vaccinations causing all types of horrible side effects in children and in adults. And I told the pastor, it won't make any difference. He still will not listen. And his son goes, "I don't believe the references." And I looked at him and I said, "There are 300 of them. Do you think that all 300 references, with their, some of these studies had dozens of researchers that signed off on it, thousands of scientists had signed off on it, telling them how bad these vaccinations were. I said, do you think they're all lying?" He said, "I don't believe it. I don't believe any of this." Now, a lot of it had to do with his wife. His wife was just a real interesting person. And his wife wanted to vaccinate the children. See, and again, this goes right back to the same thing I tell you guys, if you're not married, or if you're listening and your kids, you better have this discussion with your fiance or the person that you're dating before you do the great I do. And I will be with you the rest of my life. Because you don't want to have this discussion the day that baby's born. "I want to get the hepatitis shot, blah, 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 blah." "Well, no, I don't want to do that." "Yes, we are, blah, blah, blah." Then it all blows up right there. Right there from the beginning, it starts going bad. You know, I mean, this is the problem that we have right now. It's the pharmacology. That's when we went back into the book of Revelation with the New Testament and gave you these references out of the Old Testament. All of these different things it's talking about, it says these people that practice this stuff are going to end up in hell, who do this to the people. This is one of the things that the witches and the warlocks and the sorcerers have done for thousands of years, all the way back into the Druid times. They drug the people to get them to do what they want, including to allow themselves to be sacrificed to Baal and Moloch and the Asherah or whatever. A lot of times women, you know, they're on sedatives or on this or that or this, and they're talked into getting abortions. It all goes back to the same group. It always is the same group of people that are sacrificing human beings. And this is the same group that's doing this right now in the United States. But, you know, the good news is we're having enough pushback now, especially with this Operation Warp Shield or Warp Speed with Trump. I mean, even people that were like diehard Trumpies, all right, you know, they're saying, "Wait a minute, I don't want to be vaccinated by Operation Warp Speed. What the heck are you doing, Donald? You're the one who was opposed to vaccinations." Donald Trump is a puppet on a string. I'm going to say it again. I got a lot of people really mad at me on Hagman on Friday night because I basically implied this. You know, he's being told what to say, being told what to do, and being told what to implement. He's not making these decisions. It's all being done by the people who helped get him elected, the dual citizenships, that I should say, in the White House, which allow their swing votes to control everything. It's happening right now as we speak. And, you know, and so we've got to realize that there are redacted FBI documents right now, and they're hinting at the Israeli efforts to help Trump in the 26th campaign, because they wanted him to give the Golan Heights. They want him to rebuild the temple. They've got him on the back of a coin with Cyrus to rebuild the third temple. And you know, it's so funny. All I try to do is tell you guys what's going on with this crook Benjamin Netanyahu and all the rest of them. And people say, "Well, wow, Ted, you shouldn't say that, you know, blah, blah, blah." Well, gosh, somebody has to say it. And I'm so frustrated that, you know, we are here telling you that the world is being run by the Rothschilds, by the international banking community who were involved in child trafficking, child sacrifice, drinking of blood, witchcraft, ceremonies, connecting to other dimensions with entities, and this entire planet is being run by an ancient Canaanite satanic death cult, sex cult religion that's been combined with the mysteries of Babylon and Egypt. And that's what we have. And you think, well, that sounds weird. It doesn't sound weird to me. It sounds nuts. But that's just how they are. That's who these people are, and we've got to understand this. And that's why when Austin talks about these drugs and what's being done with these drugs and with these vaccines that are coming out, we've got to ask ourselves a question from this. Follow the money. Follow the money and see where the money comes from. And it's like I said on Sat Friday, it's always the international bankers, the guys who control the money, and through their massive investment houses control all these different corporations, like through BlackRock and all the rest of these guys, and how they're using these giant organizations to come in now and buy up pretty much all the stock markets and all the production on the entire planet. Hence, they have the ability to shut it down. You know, Disney right now is hemorrhaging cash. You know, their theme parks are still closed down. And now they're saying that if and when they reopen, that they're going to have to practice social distancing in the theme parks, and that people are going to have to wear masks at the theme parks. I mean, and if you've ever been at Disney and you're in one of these little snake lines that wrap for half a mile, now it's going to wrap for 6 miles or 5 miles or 4 miles because they have to practice social distancing and everybody's going to be put through a thermoscan before they come into the park. Who wants to go? That's not having fun. That's awful. So this is going to, you know, this is it's hard to believe it at Austin. Well, what do you think?
Yeah. Well, no, it does sound awful. I mean, those people already know my stance on Disney from all of my previous stories and engagements over there with their security and law enforcement. I don't have to go into that. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know how you're supposed to practice. So, like you said, you're going to be standing in line. Everybody's got to stand 6 feet apart from one another in a line. That's why as soon as you said it, I kind of chuckled because I got a picture in my head. I've been to Disney, especially when you get in those long lines. They're a nightmare. 6 feet apart now, yeah. But when line starts here, the wait time is going to be, you know, 480 minutes. And you're like, fast pass? Oh, yeah, if you do fast pass, the wait's only 4 hours. You're like, oh, okay. Just sit in line all day and stay 6 feet apart. How are you going to enforce that? What do you have? Roving security guards that walk around all the lines with a stick, tell everybody 6 feet apart, 6 feet apart. You know, oh, you're not 6 feet apart, you got to step back. I mean, this whole thing has gotten so stupid. And as I told you guys before, what in the world and who in the world came up with six? Why the number six? Why 6 feet? We know that, I mean, coughing and sneezing, you can projectile droplets of saliva and, you know, snot way further than 6 feet. I mean, 6 feet's not some end-all be-all. Oh, 6 feet, you can't catch it 6 feet. Why not 5 feet? Why not 7 feet? Why not 10 feet? Six. Everywhere you go now, if you've noticed, there's the number six on everything. And a lot of people are like, oh, Austin, you're being paranoid. I may be being paranoid, but look at the numbers. Anytime you go somewhere now, there's always a sign, and it says, practice social distancing, 6 feet apart. Signs everywhere. Sure. We've literally got the number six on every building, in every building, everywhere you go now, there's number six everywhere. Tell me that's not a bit ominous, considering the fact there is zero research that shows 6 feet is some magic number you have to stay apart from somebody. I mean, you go to the store, 6 feet apart on the store, that's what it says, on the floor. Really, really weird stuff. And now we're starting to find, this is something that's very weird. I was looking at some articles earlier, and apparently, and I'm doing some more research on this, but this is apparently what it's saying here, in parentheses, on this vaccine that he's been working on. You guys know that I've talked about this, it's 2018, is that Bill Gates has been working on the human implantable quantum dot microneedle vaccine technology delivery system. That's what it's called. I talked to you guys about it. It's like a thing of Velcro almost. And it's a very small needle, and it implants it into your shoulder. And then what they do is they scan it later on because there's a quantum dot microneedle that stays in there, and you basically have this bioluminescent that lights up when they scan it. This is what it is. This isn't conspiracy theory. These are facts that he's come up with this. Well, now they're showing that what it is called is the infrared bioluminescent enzyme luciferase. which it's spelled L-U-C-I-F-E-R-A-S-E. It's Lucifer Ace is what it is. And it's the chemical that makes the quantum dot vaccine readable through the special mobile phone app that he's putting together. So Bill Gates is building something called the Human Implantable Quantum Dot Microneedle Vaccine Delivery System that has an enzyme called luciferase in it in order to make it work. And we're supposed to be ramrodding that now through Operation Warp Speed to have 300 million of these vaccines ready for human injection in the United States in January. Sometimes I feel like I'm living in a movie. You know, you watch some of these movies sometimes, and there's all this crazy stuff, and oh, he's got this virus, and it's, you know, phase one of this virus, and it, you know, liquefies your organs, and it kills you, and we have to do all this stuff, and you kind of go, oh, it's like a movie. I feel like we're living in a movie now, guys. And a lot of people are starting to wake up and realize this is not what we have been told. This whole thing has been a complete and total scam from the beginning as far as with this lockdown. We also know now that states that have not locked down hasn't changed pretty much any aspect of the amount of cases they've come down with. It's caused very little. There's a virus that's going to run through. It's going to spread. People are going to get it. People are going to have it. And then you start seeing the numbers that we've seen now showing how there's been numerous cases that they've tested where people have tested positive and had zero symptoms, never even got sick, maybe a sore throat or a headache. So we know that a lot of people that have good immune systems, as we've talked about repeatedly, that have gotten this, bounce right back from it fairly quickly. Other people may get it worse than others, but one thing that is undeniable is the body is designed to handle viruses. That is not conspiracy theory either. The body was designed by God Almighty to handle viruses, especially when they're basically absorbed and contracted through normal ways, breathing it in, getting in your lungs, getting in your sinuses. Our body was not designed to handle a virus load that's injected right into your intramuscular tissue and goes into your bloodstream along with aborted fetal tissue and aluminum along with it. Our bodies were not designed to handle that at all. So understand what's going on. And again, talk to your family, talk to your friends. Are you going to get injected with a vaccine from these clowns when they have been known to do all types of sinister things in the past and get away with it? And they tell you it's for your protection. That and I were joking yesterday. What are they going to do? They come to your house and forcibly vaccinate you? I mean, that's what they've been talking about now. Saying that you're going to have to be mandated. You're not going to be able to do stuff. So what does it go? We're going to kill you if you don't let us protect you with a vaccine. I mean, is that what we've come down to now? We're going to kill you if we can't protect you with a vaccine. That doesn't sound like America at all. That sounds like a globalist tyrannical nightmare on steroids. Wake up, ask questions, question the narrative all the time right now, guys. What do you think, Dan?
You know, you're right, Austin. In fact, we were joking about it sitting outside last night. When, by the way, we were not practicing social distancing. We had some friends over. And, you know, and we were just talking. And we said, I guess they're going to tell us, you know, we're going to come in and if you don't let us vaccinate you to save you, we're going to go ahead and just shoot you and kill you here on the spot. And you're like, that doesn't make any sense. It kind of sounds like Waco, doesn't it? It kind of sounds like Ruby Ridge. They kind of sound like the Branch Davidians. And they say, we got to protect the children, so we're going to come in and burn the place down and kill all the kids. Wait a minute. How's that protecting any of the children? You killed them all. See, this is some weird stuff these guys start thinking about in their heads. Yeah, think about this for a second. You know, and they say, well, everybody's got to get tested. Well, what are they testing for? There's 36 known categories of coronavirus that have been around for six years. I mean, every time this stuff gets to a person, it morphs into a new subtype. So what are they testing for? Are they testing for the fact that you've had coronavirus influenza, like illness 7 years ago, and now you have an antibody to that? Is that what they're looking for? If you know that there are at least 30 substrains, you know, what we're talking about, and we mentioned this before on the show, what happened in China was different than what happened in Iran. That was different than what happened in Italy. Was different than what happened in California and New York. I talked about this the other day. These are specific substrains, and I believe a lot of these were genome-specific bioweapons that were specifically designed to kill certain people. And they've morphed again, or they've mutated again, which they continually do. You know, we never even think about the vaccines that were going to be given to people. Are they tested for synergistic toxicity? In other words, are all these chemicals, including the aborted fetal cells, and the aluminum and the squalene and all of the different things, the mercury, what's going to happen when you dump all that stuff on everybody all at once? How about the cancer causing potential? How about the mutagenic potential? How about the causing birth defects? How about its potential to impair fertility? Whoa, did I say that? That sounds like a Bill Gates fantasy world. Use vaccines to impair fertility. Oh, that's right. He even said that in a TED Talk. So maybe that's what this whole thing's about. Let's lock down the planet, cause massive, massive unrest, cause massive depression, make people totally desperate so they'll be willing and ready and able to roll their sleeves up and let you shoot them in the arm with anything you want if you feed them. Yeah. And how about we massively impair fertility at the same time? How about we change their DNA? Now, guys, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I will be here for you guys. I told Sharon yesterday, I could feel you guys pulling on me yesterday. I could feel the fact that, you know, I hadn't talked to you Saturday or Sunday, and I need to get more information to you. Because, you know, here we are. We're quantumly entangled by our protons and by the Holy Spirit, and we basically can know what each other are doing. I pray for you guys all the time. I mean, I stop in the middle of the day and pray for you. I get all these emails all the time, and I just stop, and I pray for you. So you send me an email, and you ask me to pray for you, like Zach asked me to pray for him the other day, and several other people asked me to pray for them, and I stopped immediately what I was doing, and I pray right then. Why? Because it's what I do. We're family. I love you guys. Austin, finish it up.
Absolutely, guys, and thank you again for the support. If you guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us, healthmasters.com. Feel free to give us a call. We'll be happy to help you out with any nutritional or supplement needs. Or you can check out the website, healthmasters.com. Specials going on there, as always, including the product of the week, the one and only prostate support. Excellent, excellent product. And also, to be sure to vote for what you want to see win the product of the week, whether it's Cholesterol X or the probiotic, Total Rest. Got a bunch of different options on there right now to vote on, so be sure to check that out. Thank you for the continued support. Be safe. Stay firm. Know your rights, guys. And don't capitulate to a lot of this. Again, use wisdom. Don't be doing dumb stuff. Use sanitation habits. Keep them regularly going. But also in the other times that live in peace and of love and of sound mind and preparedness. I appreciate you guys. Stay prepped as always. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.